Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to represent you and your word on this platform. I don't take it lightly, and I understand how important it is to tell the truth, as you command us to live by the truth and to preach the truth. So today, God, I ask you, help me, Holy Spirit, anoint my lips and my heart and my mind, so I will speak your word with dignity and with power. Amen. Amen. I love to preach the word. I don't do this very often, but I'm a teacher by nature. I love to teach, and recently I become very shadow teacher because I teach online. And all of my students, majority of them, are worship leaders. I teach worship leaders, I train new generation, because, you know, I realize if all the women, remember what, you know, it's so funny when some people are arguing, should women teach in church? I said, of course, it says in the Bible, especially all the women, they need to teach. To teach younger women how to love husbands, how to take care of the house, how to raise children. Who is going to teach other young girls if not us older women? I consider myself older. I got glasses now. So I'm teaching, I'm traveling, and I'm teaching mostly raising new generation of worship leaders. I still teach at the women's conferences and women gatherings, but not as often. So today, when I was praying, and you know, I was thinking, what subjects should I choose? And I could choose anything. I felt like I need to tell you about something I'm really passionate about, and I know God is passionate about. I will talk about worship. I will talk about worship. And maybe sometimes you think, oh, we don't talk about worship in church much. We worship every service. Before we start listening the word of God, we worship. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we start with worship, correct? So we do worship, but there is no many teaching about worship. And that's why I felt, you know, there is a gap I want to fill out. Because I need to teach especially women and youth why we worship. And today, I just want to tell you the funny story. Probably you know this, but if not, very short. I was a worshiper before I was saved. I know it's weird, but if you know our salvation story, my husband was hired as a bass player to play in a band, in a worship band, before church was started. And we always say that your pastor, Jim and Deborah, they are behind what God was doing in Ukraine in 1991, 1992. They were not there, but their prayers and their hearts were there. They put a seed because of their prayer, and God used some other people to start a church, but that church was in their heart. So God brought us to that new planned church in 1992 in Ukraine. Remember, Soviet Union just collapsed. We did not have any churches. We did not have any Christians. We did not have any worshipers. There were some religious people, same as call themselves maybe Catholic or Orthodox, but they did not even read their Bible because they thought, oh, if I was born in a kind of Christian country, I'm Christian automatically. So when my husband was invited to play in church, for him it was a gig. So he was playing in church. And then they did not have anyone to lead worship. Before that, I did not even know what this means. They asked me, like, Vera, you are a musician, you are a violinist player, you are choir director, because I was choir director in a secular arena. Can you lead one song so church would follow? Because obviously we are foreigners, we don't know your language. You can do this in Russian language. Yes, I said yes. So I was leading worship before I was saved. I did not even knew what I was doing. And I know it's a crazy story, and maybe because of that testimony, we were worshiping before we realized we need Jesus. And because of such a unique story of our salvation, and we get saved eventually. Both of us, my husband and myself, we become worshipaholic. Everything in our house about worship. Yes, it's about music, but now we understand the purpose of music. It's not just for entertainment. Entertainment is great, but it's secondary. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We often think when the pastor preaches the word, he is teaching us and feeding us with the word of God, correct? But in this passage, it says that in the same manner, we need to teach each other, not just the person from the pulpit. We need to teach each other and admonish each one another during the times of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So what we did from the first moment of this gathering, we were teaching each other through singing, through worshiping. And I know sometimes we don't look at the worship time like this. Sometimes people think it's just a warm-up before the main event. Sometimes they come to church and they don't understand why we are starting our services with worship. And as I said, I'm a vocal coach and I teach worshipers, and I teach them not just how to sing, but I teach them the principles, how worship is important. And why worship is important. That worship is not a 20-minute opening act before main event, before the big guy or big girl comes to the stage and ta-da, now we're going to preach the word of God. We are coming here, and by singing the word of God, we were singing the word of God, by singing, by proclaiming, we teach each other. So that's why we are sitting close to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And that's why our voices matter. Because in some churches, especially religious churches, there is a culture when you don't need to come, when you don't need to come for worship, or there is no worship, or there is no very big emphasis on worship. They treat worship as something secondary. And sometimes, I remember it was a time when I came to one church, and they said to me, as a guest speaker, they said to me, "Oh, you don't need to come to worship time. You can sit here and rest. And when you need to preach, we will ask you to come." I said, "No, you don't understand. Worship for me is the most important time. When I come and get encouraged and my faith is built, people around me, it's important." And it's absolutely contradicts with the word. Because worship is never secondary. That's the only reason we were created, to worship God. Do you know that the only sacrifice we should keep bringing in the New Testament is the sacrifice of worship? I went to Israel. Every year I would go to Israel because that place is in my heart. We planted a church in Tel Aviv, and actually pastors of that church coming to us in 2 weeks' time just to spend time with us. They're bringing their teenage boys because they're going through war also. And I don't know why, how it's happening. The church we were pastoring in Ukraine, the church we were pastoring in Russia, in Moscow, in Kiev, and the church we planted in Israel, all three churches going through war. And if you think people in Russia, in Moscow, they're not going through war, they're going through war. Maybe bombs are not following their heads, but they're going through war in their hearts. Because lots of people, they're not supporting what their government is doing. But they cannot do much. Because it's still the place where you cannot openly say what you think without being threatened, put in a prison, and put to death. And I know it sounds surreal, but it's a reality. So we are trying to encourage these people. Yes, we are not there, but we were there in 1992 when Soviet Union just collapsed. And we break through that atmosphere with worship. And you can do the same. 2 months ago, I was in Kiev. And I know people say, crazy, how are you coping with this? You know what? When you are a worshiper, you just say to God, God, I trust you. If it's my time, it's my time. But if you need me here, I will come back to USA because you got a job for me to do. But when I came to Kiev and I spoke to different people, Christians, worship leaders, pastors, and I asked them a question, I said, I'm here only for a week, but how are you coping? And they told me that the worship becomes so intense in Ukraine that people are immersing into worship in order to survive emotionally. Because they never know what's going to happen, so they need to build up kind of a wall around them, aureole around them, to feel, okay, God, I trust you. And it's a bad thing. War is a bad thing. But you know, sometimes through suffering, God will strengthen your worship. Amen? And it says, the only sacrifice we should keep bringing in the New Testament is the sacrifice of worship. Hebrews 13, 15, 16 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Continually. Never stop. Do it again and again. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You see, when yesterday said, we are given 10%, this is part of your worship. It never says in the Bible that sacrifice of praise is singing only. Because our lips can produce a sound. I'm speaking right now as a vocal coach. Can you produce a sound? I could be a choir director. I should come and start a choir here. You know what? It used to be culture of choirs. Where all the choirs gone? We need a choir in the church. Amen? We have them. Okay, good. Sorry. I'm not trying to lure, but I'm just passionate about it. So when you are singing, you are using your lips. But you cannot do lots of good stuff only with your lips. It says here, don't forget to do good and to share with others. And God is kind of explaining, to do good has nothing to do with you. To do good, it has done to share with others. And when you share with others, you give to the church, so church can, on your behalf, to do good. This is worship. This is worship. And this is sacrifice. No one is saying it is easy to give, it is easy to share. Sometimes it is easier to sing. And we just say, oh, I was singing today, I'm done with worship. No, no, no. Singing, doing good, sharing. That's complete worship circle.
Amen.
Worship is not just singing. Worship is singing and doing good. And some people think that singing is our sacrifice. That would be very, very easy. But no, singing is not enough. Doing good while singing. This is my definition of worship. If you are writing down anything, just write down this. Worship is doing good while singing. Simple. This is your worship. Sacrifice of worship. Sacrifice of praise. Doing good while singing. That's what we do when we go through the difficult time. We keep singing and doing good. And doing good while singing. So when people ask me, Vera, how are you coping? I'm not very old, I'm young, but I'm still 54, almost 54 years old. And you know, during these 54 years, 32 years, I'm Christian. I am not immune to problems. I am not immune to difficulties. I am not immune to pain or grief or any kind of difficult circumstances. But you know what I'm doing? I'm breaking through with worship. This is my only way. This is my only way. So today I will share with you three thoughts on worship. Because we need to know, why are we worshiping the way we are worshiping? So why worship is not just doing good? Because some people, they think worship is not singing. In our culture, in Orthodox Church, singing actually is prohibited. Okay, don't smile, don't laugh, don't sing, don't rejoice. Because if you are smiling, you just show your foolishness. And that's why in our culture people don't smile. Because they're trained like this. It's not in the Bible, it's in the tradition. It's in the religion. And singing and dancing prohibited. If you read Russian Bible, like which we use for hundreds and hundreds of years, every mention about dancing is eliminated. You cannot see it there. Do you know the scripture like, praise God with dance? There is nothing like this in the Russian Bible. They use some tricky word to avoid this dancing thing. Because they say, if you worship God, you just do good. So why are we worshipers? We worshiping with singing and dancing, and some, especially in the modern church. We use modern instrument. Lots of people, they don't understand why. But if you read Book of Jeremiah, it's not a modern thing, actually, to dance and worship God with instruments. Book of Jeremiah was written 2,600 years ago. And he wrote this, Jeremiah 33:11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. If you read this passage of scripture, he's talking about the house. He's talking about a particular place. He's talking about a big crowd of people. He's talking about congregation, correct? He's talking about sacrifice of praise. It's not like you want or you wish. You must. And he's talking about voice. Voice of joy. Just think about the wedding. All of those voices, all of that celebration. So every service should be like a wedding. And we started as a celebration. And you could ask me, Vera, how can you start celebration, worship in Ukraine while they are bombing? That's why it's called sacrifice of praise. You are not doing this due to circumstances. You are not doing this due to your feelings because you feel this way. Do you know that Christians who died for their faith, sometimes they were dying with a song of joy on their lips? And I know it's crazy, but they were professing their faith. They were showing that you can kill our bodies, but you can take our song. You can take our face. You can take our voice. Amen? Our God is an awesome God. So I believe no matter what circumstances, and I know sometimes it's so hard, which means the sacrifice is very, very big and heavy. We are singing, our God. He's an awesome God who reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Come on. That's what we should do. He's an awesome God. Yes. With wisdom. The power and love of God is an awesome God. I remember I had, is it helping anyone? Because it seems like, oh, maybe it's not relevant. We are women here. We're supposed to talk about what concerns women. No, we are not women. We are not women. We are God's followers. We are believers. We are Christians. And it doesn't matter, male or female. In the Bible, it says it doesn't really matter, male, female, what your, upbringing, what your nationality. Now you are new in Christ. You are a new creature. And yes, we should talk about some things which are particular about women. But this is so important for us because we are warriors. And worship is our weapon. Amen. The proof that Satan hates the church. He wants to close down every possible gathering. Listen to me. I know my husband last night when he said, he mentioned that you are going through paying off your building. And I know it's not a church gathering, full church. It's only women's meeting. But I want to say to you, why we need to have a stake on the ground. Because if enemy wants to close down the gathering, we would say, no, this is ours. It belongs to us. No one can take it from us. And you know, so many places, even in Ukraine, which doesn't belong to churches. Churches were kicked out. But if property belongs to church, they worship, they help, they turn their house of worship into the house of help to those people in need. And we are so grateful for those churches in Ukraine who still got their stake on the ground, they got their properties. So they turn these properties to humanitarian, not just shelters, but hubs where people can come and eat and drink and even find shelter during bombing. So devil wants to close every possible gathering. Satan hates when God's people get together, when they bring the sacrifice of praise, and when they start proclaiming that the Lord is good and awesome and He reigns. Do we have to feel that we need to worship? No. We have to know it and proclaim it. And most of the time when we don't really want to sing to God and worship God, we need to do it sacrificially. Sacrificially. Psalm 107, verse 22. Let them, it's us. Let us sacrifice thanksgiving and tell of His work with songs of joy. And sometimes people are saying, oh, look at this. You know, they're mocking. Some Russians are mocking Ukrainians. Look, there is no war in Kyiv because they're singing. We can see on social media their services. They're jumping, they're rejoicing. It's all fake. It's not real. I said, you don't understand. These people will jump for joy because they were trained for 32 years. My husband and myself, we dedicated our life and our musical background to create all of those praise and worship albums. So doesn't matter what, people can put this album and worship with us, no matter where they are. The culture of worship was created in our land. And I'm not saying, oh, great Vera, no. God just used us and our gift for a certain period of time. And now we are saying to new pastors, now your assignment looks different. But we are here for you. We are here to support you. And we are here to testify God will never leave you. If you remember Job and his sacrifice, my husband preached about this last night. Job lost everything, sheep, camels, possessions, sons, daughters. He lost everything in a very short period of time. And still, he stood up and worshiped. When his wife said to him, just curse the Lord, Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Worshiped. If you cannot say thank you, Jesus, because sometimes you cannot say it, how can I say thank you for this? I cannot lie. I cannot say I'm grateful for this. If you cannot say you are grateful for this, I understand. But at least you can worship. At least you can worship. As Job did. Job falls to the ground. What he did, he yelled at God, he cursed God, he shook his fist at God. No, he fell to the ground and worshiped. And yes, he tore his clothes. He was in distress. So basically he showed, that's what I truly feel. I truly feel like I'm dying. I don't want to live anymore. God, take my life. I am not accepting this. I don't like this. It's so hard to bear. But still, I know what I should do. Even in this condition, I should worship. Paul and Silas in the New Testament, they were going through trial. They put them into prison. But do you remember what they did sitting in that prison cell? They worship. They worship with joy. And that's a reason why all other prisoners, they could not ignore it. You know all of those stories. That's why I'm not reading those stories to you. So my question for each one of us this morning, are you going through any trials at the moment? Is any bad luck happening right now, maybe with your health or in your family? What about your finances? Or what about your children or grandchildren or your relatives or your parents? Do you have any challenges? And I don't need your answer, because this is rhetorical questions. I know indefinitely that you are going through some tribulation. But what is your reaction? It was easy for him, for Job, to praise when everything is great. And that's why Satan said, of course it's easy to worship. He got everything. You bless him. You did this and that. And God said, no, no, no. Job is my guy. He will worship me no matter what. And I can prove it. Are you his girl? Can you worship him no matter what? Job was in his lowest point. He was weak. He was hopeless. But sacrifice of praise in the middle of his weakness attracts God's power. This is my another thought. It's not a point, but my thought. I would write down my weakness, my worship in my weakness attracts God's power. When I worship God through I cannot, I attract God's power. The sacrifice of praise in the middle of our weakness releases God's power. Without sacrifice, there is no power. It's just simply singing. And I love singing. I love songs. But you know, I know the difference when someone is singing and someone is worshiping. And I'm pretty sure you can tell. When a person just get up, I'm a worship pastor for many, many years. And when a cool guy or cool girl just get up on stage and just enjoying and singing, it's not particular what they're doing with their body, with their voice, with their face, but you can feel the power. It's either there or not. And I would always tell the worship leaders I'm training, you know, it's not about you singing. Yes, I teach you how to be very good and knowledgeable in your art. You need to have a beautiful voice. You need to be in tune. You need to do this and that, all the vocal technique. But then all the vocal technique put aside. Now let's talk about worship, because singing is secondary. Worship is your prime goal. And you need to worship in such a way, such a powerful way, so people in congregation would get healed. People in congregation get saved. People in congregation get convicted, and they would repent because they sin. Is it true? People who are going through grief would rejoice. People who are rejoicing and blessed would share. That's what your singing should do. And it's a difficult task. But you can do it when you are worshiping. Sacrifice releases power. Power brings unspeakable joy, indescribable peace, and unshakable faith. So when people ask me, Vera, how your country is still believing in God, has unspeakable joy. How can you explain this? Undescribable peace. When in the middle of the night, I heard bombing, I could not believe. Like, I was staying there in an apartment in downtown Kyiv 2 months ago, and I heard bombing, but I have not heard any sirens. And then I got knock on my door, and remember, it was like 4 a.m. in the morning. I said, I'm not opening, I'm by myself. But they told me, don't worry, it's your neighbors. So when neighbors came, they grabbed me and took me to bomb shelter, and they said, these days we don't hear sirens anymore because on our phone we got app. So they installed this app. So because when siren went off, everyone went to bomb shelter except me. And they knew I'm in the building, so they took me. So when I heard the siren on my phone for the first time, I was panicking. I knew I got time to go down to bomb shelter, but I was panicking. So as a human being, you cannot control your emotion at the first split second. You will react. I would react, especially being a woman. I was like panicking. I thought, okay, where is my passport? Because if something happened, I need to be ready. But when I went to that bomb shelter, people were sitting quietly, 4 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, are you all okay? They're doing this every night for more than 2 years. And they said, it's not like we get used to it, no. But we learn. We learn how to react. We learn how to react. And most of them are Christians who are staying and serving. And they said, we learn how to be in indescribable peace. Indescribable peace. So yes, it was dangerous for me to go there, but it was so good for my soul. It was so good for me to see what God is doing. Sacrifice of praise enable us to encounter the power of God like nothing else. It is not effective to tell someone, you know, just make a decision not to worry. Or stop being so insecure. Or don't be proud or selfish. Or don't be fearful. You cannot just tell people, make decision not to fear. If you want someone or you, be confident, have peace, have faith, have joy. The worship is the only place to get it. The worship is the only place to get it. So never tell people, just make decision. Tell them to start worshiping. And you will see how God will fight our battles with his power. Is his power. So I want to share my 3 keys. It's going to be very quick. 3 keys to the power of worship, which will unlock unspeakable joy, indescribable peace, and unshakable faith in your life. And the first key to the power of worship, number one, key to a private room. This is my favorite. Key to a private room. This first key is very important. Nobody told us before that you can worship God in private. In our culture, you go to the worship place, which is church or cathedral or any kind of, like if you go to Italy, on every corner you got a church building. I mean, Catholic church, cathedral. So if you want to pray or worship, you just go there. But no one told us you can actually need to worship in your private. It should be, it could be like your room, your bedroom, your closet, your kitchen, your bathroom, anything, your private room. Every person is created to be a worshiper, and the biggest book in the Bible encourages us to draw close to God and worship him. And this is your personal battle place. This is your, I call, CCC place. Cleaning, crying, and complain. Cleaning, crying, and complain. So sometimes when people come to church and they're cleaning, crying, and complaining, nothing wrong with this, but I got a question. Do you have a key to your private room? Because sometimes people bring their dirt to church every service. They are complaining during every worship song. They are crying with all of those dripping things all the time. And like, you are standing there like, I understand it, but like all the time? All the time? And I said, this is indicate to me you don't have your private place, CCC place. Because it seems to me like I never cry, I never complain, and I never clean what I need to be clean. I do that, but I don't want you to see it. Sometimes it can happen, occasionally. But most of the time, like King David, he would start his psalm like, this is for the choir, and this one is not for the choir. This psalm is for me. I'm just crying and complaining, and I'm just digging all my dirt in front of the Lord. So some of the psalms are private. Some of the psalms are congregational. If you see, this is for the choir, this is for congregation. And if you read this for the choir, it's never like, oh, I'm dying. If psalm is for the congregation, it's always, come on. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen? So your private room, your personal encouragement and wisdom developed in that private room. Private room is my favorite because I can be vulnerable there. I could be weak. And I could be even lost. Sometimes I could show my weakness being a pastor. Sometimes I could show my weakness during my ministering to people. But I cannot be weak. I could show my, do you know the difference? I could show my weakness because I'm a human being. But I cannot be weak because if I want to lead people to the better place in their relationship with God, I need to have this key to private room. Same with you. If you want to lead someone to Christ, you cannot be weak. No one would follow a weak Christian. Be honest. Show your weakness sometimes, not all the time. But be strong. That's why you need to have this key. When I see people in church, they look weak and lost, and I wonder if they ever use a key to their private worship chamber. Because if you read David's songs, which he starts emotionally crying, he always comes out of this room transformed and calmed. So before using other key number two, always use key number one, key to your private chamber. Remember this, CCC. CCC. Cleaning, crying, and complaining. Key number two, key to a corporate room. Oh my God, this is amazing. I love big gatherings. I love church gatherings. I love gatherings with women. I love gatherings with youth. I love big conferences. And sometimes people say, why do you need this conference? It's so much effort. But when you create this atmosphere, huge atmosphere with so many voices, you create the gathering where people join their voices together. It's so powerful. And that's why people are drawn to this. I'm not saying we need to do conferences for the sake of conferences, but to create a huge crowd who worships, that's amazing. It's an indescribable feeling. I'm so happy to join others and share my voice with those who believe. So King David put a worship team. His worship team was 4,000 singers, choir and musicians who would praise God 24/7. Okay, once again, it's not in heaven. It was on earth. 4,000 band worshiping 24/7. I'm just thinking, wow. I can only imagine the sound of that team. They were instructed to use a key to a corporate worship because in the Bible it says, Psalm 22:3, that He, God, actually lives and dwells in our praises. Our praises, not just in my worship, but our praises. So when we come together as a church, as a nation, and we worship, this is a mystery and the miracle of the breakthrough power and presence of God when we worship. When we worship, we affirm the truth of God's word. And it is being rooted deep in our hearts. Only in Psalms, singing and mentioning explicitly almost 70 times. And all of the Psalms were designed to be sung. You can read it yourself. It says that this or that Psalm was for singing. Singing is an important spiritual expression. God fights for us when we worship and worship together. We should realize when we worship, that's where God fights for our battles. So that's how I view worship. When I come to church, to congregational singing, and when we all together join our faith together, and we, with one voice, we say, "Praise the Lord," it seems like something moving in the spiritual realm. And God is answering your prayers. God is fighting your battle. Sometimes you go back to your old problem, but this problem suddenly disappears. And you think, oh, it's just coincidence. No, it's not coincidence. It will happen. So knowing this, would you miss congregational worship? Knowing this, would you miss your opportunity to fight your battle? You may be familiar with the story of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20:22, it says, "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated." That was a very strange battle plan. That was a very strange battle plan. God said, okay, you got enemies, and probably you're not gonna be able to have victory, because there are more of them than you, and you probably are weak. So we got another plan. You just sing and worship and praise me, and I will do the rest. That was a crazy, strange battle plan, but the result was that the Lord won the battle for them. Corporate worship is unbeatable power. And my key number three, and I'm finishing with this, key to a public room. The first one was your private room, key to a private room. The second was key to your corporate worship. But this is key to a public room. Worship was never intended to be only in your private room or in your church, in your Christian gathering. Worship should go public. Psalm 57:9, it says, "I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." And that's why we are doing TV, podcasts, radio, social media. That's why we are doing all of this video and we are showing. That's why we are doing all of this music and album. People say, "Why did you record 27 albums?" I translated more than 500 songs and we recorded most of them. "Why did you do that?" I said, because the worship does not only belong for me privately or for our church. People need to hear. People need to hear. Psalm 40 verse 3. "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see." Say with me, many will see. "Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." When we did album recordings, we would do a huge big gathering. And it was the biggest altar call all the time. Because people maybe then don't understand what we are saying, but they cannot deny the presence of God and the power of God when we worship. Amen? David was praising and dancing and singing before witnesses. And he did not care what other people would say. His own wife laughed at him. So people would say, "Oh, look at these Christians. They're jumping and singing. We have war going on in Ukraine. Look at them. They're rejoicing. They're crazy. They're local. They're not normal." But do you know how many people would not say this? They would say, "I need what you've got. Because I cannot get this in the normal circumstances. I need what you've got. Tell me about your God." That's what happened to us. The power of worship brought us to Jesus. I told you, for us, music was just a gig. And we were playing lots of gigs before that. weddings, funerals, all of other occasions, concerts. But then we were invited to do this in church. But that music was different. We witnessed the worship atmosphere. And when we witnessed the worship atmosphere, we said, we've been doing music all our life, but this is not music. This is more than a music. This is worship. This is praise. And that's what brought us to Christ, key to a public. No one preached us about Jesus. And even if they preached us about Jesus, we would not hear it because we were too intellectual. We used to listen to professors, not just simple people telling us some strange ideas. Few people, if any, are converted to Christ on purely intellectual grounds. It was not. The sense of God's presence melts my heart and explodes mental barriers and unbeliefs. And church people, they don't understand all that happens in the house of worship. They may not understand the meaning of the song or the significance of the communion, but they know the joy they feel. That David was leading people in worship, and David, he was the one who said those words. God, you put a smile on my face. Those words belong to David. And when we worship, it is not about fun atmosphere. It is about faith atmosphere. Amen? We are not singing to entertain our soul, but we are singing to strengthen our spirit. Amen? Did you receive the word? Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. Please, God, teach us more how to be a true worshipers, because you are looking for worshipers like this. You are looking for hearts who are fully committed to you in every season, in every circumstances. You are looking for those who know how to worship you, how to bring the sacrifice of praise with their lips, with their deeds, and with their generosity. Amen.
Vera, wait. Vera, wait. I was wondering, could you lead us in a song?
I did not lead worship for like 15
years. Oh, come on. You just sang right now, girlfriend. So you can't. Come on. I'm going to call you on the carpet. You can. And I'll bring my team up with you. How about Our God is an Awesome God? Can we do that together?
Yeah. Give me the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics.
Where's Tiva? Tiva, come on.
They're too good.
Yeah, guys, like, we have to put this into practice, right? Like, Vera, that was amazing.
Thank you.
It was so good, you know? It was such a beautiful explanation of what God does in the middle of worship. And I think we can so easily be like, oh, I don't like this song. Or I don't like the tune of that.
Do you know how many songs I don't like?
Right.
It's not about
you. But it's not about you, right? So let's sing and let's stand, let's honor God and let's just sing together and let
just
our voices be
heard.
Just
give me any key and the lyrics. Okay. Our God is a worship God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Okay.
I figure everybody probably knows that.
Okay. Do you know the lyrics?
We're good at faith.
Do you know the lyrics? Then we follow you. Our God is an awesome God who reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Come on, church.
Our God is an awesome God who reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Power and love, our God is an awesome.
Can we do it
God.
One more time?
And our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. the church.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Oh, God is an awesome God.
Thank you, girls. All right, girls, give him worship. Thank you, Jesus.